We're on Daf Lamed Hey Yomid Aleph, and we're up to Rabba Rav Yosef. Let's see if we can find Rabba and Rav Yosef. I would say it's about 12 lines down from the top. You'll see a letter for the Bach at the beginning of the line, Basada, and then towards the end, it'll say Rabba v'Rav Yosef. So just as an introduction, what we have until now is one answer to the question on Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. We'll go over this question and then we're going to go on and offer a second answer. The first answer we covered on Yom Chamishi, and the question was, why does the Tanakhama in our Mishnah establish that if he puts the Erev in a Migdal and he loses the key to the Migdal, the Erev is still valid? And we should have said that since he has no access to the Eruv, because he doesn't have the key to get it out of the closet, then it's not a valid Eruv. And as I said before, we gave one answer, and that was based on Rabbi Shimon, the possibility that maybe they'll find the key in the city and they'll be able to pass the key back through Gagim, Chatzeros, and Karpifos, in order for the person to be able to open the closet and get access to his Eruv. Now we're offering a second answer, and that is Rabba and Rav Yosef. The Amri Travayhu, they both offered the same answer. Hacha b'migdal shel Eitzas Kinan. We're talking about a closet that's made of wood, and he put the Eruv into this closet, which is called a Migdal. Not the way we described it earlier, based on the first answer of Rav and Shmuel, which was a Migdal Shel Levenim. If you recall, it was made of bricks, just that there was a space between one brick and the other. And if there was no cement between one brick and the other, then he could simply lift up one brick, and that would be mutter. The issues that we had were, are you taking apart a building by removing one brick from the other? Now we're talking about a Migdal Shel Eitz. And if it's made of wood, then we're going to decide whether it has the status of a kli or not. And if it has the status of a kli, then we might be able to activate a principle called Ein Binyan Ustir V'Kelev. But before we get to that, let's just introduce this concept of a Migdal Shel Eitz by mentioning a sugya in Masechet Kelim that has to do with the size, or shall we say, the maximum volume that this utensil can hold. Now we have something which is a shir of a mikvah, which is called 40 saw. And if you have a very large kli, a very large utensil, let's say a closet or what have you, and it's made in this case of wood, and it can maintain a volume of 40 saw. So it's a massive utensil. And the reason why this utensil is going to change its status, if it's so large, is because chezkaso she'ein mitaltelin oso. It's so large and it has so much of a volume inside of it that we don't move it from place to place. Now, the fundamental difference between a kli and a karka is that karka cannot be moved, real estate cannot be moved from place to place. Metaltalin, kishmo kenu, you can be metaltalit, you can move it from one place to the other. But at some point, if the utensil becomes so large, then it's almost virtually impossible to move it from one place to the other under normal circumstances. Again, you may find someone who can gather together a group, a brigade of troops that can move it, but as a general rule, we cannot move it. And now, Rabbi Rav Yosef are going to analyze the following question. If I put my Eruv into this very humongous, this very large kli, in such a way that I lock up this utensil, I lock up the closet, and unfortunately I lost the key, I have no access to the Eruv, and an Eruv without any access is not an Eruv. But on the other hand, what I could do is, I can break the utensil itself. Let's say where the lock is, I can break in. And now the issue is, can I do such a thing Beina Shmoshos as we enter into Shabbos? So I don't know where the key is. The key is lost. But I have another way of getting access to the contents of this humongous utensil, and that's by breaking it in. Mar Sovar Klihu V'ein Binyan Ustira V'Kelim. Right, one of the 39 malachas is binyan, the other is stira. So I'm not allowed to build something, I'm not allowed to break it and take it apart. But that applies to karka, to something that is attached to the ground, like a house that I build on the ground. And there for sure I would not be allowed neither to build such a house, nor to take it apart. But what happens in a case of a kli? And we're holding now Ein Binyan Ustir V'Kelim, at the Meleches Binyan, and therefore the Meleches Soser, which is the flip side of Meleches Binyan, does not apply to Kelim. Now I want to know, does this Migdal, which is gigantic in size, it has the volume of 40 Sah, does it have the status of a Kli? Mar Savar, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this Migdal, because it's so gigantic, is Yotza Mitoras Kli. We are Mafkir the Toras Kli. And again, all this has to do with Tumah V'Tahara, which Amir Tzem will get to. And because of its gigantic size, it's no longer movable under normal circumstances, and therefore it's not a Kli. If it's not a Kli, Oel Hu. It has the status of something that's stationary. Let's backtrack. Our definitions are not karka versus kelim. Everything is karka unless it's a kelim. Do you remember the old when we were in the early grades? You know, they used to teach us that all S is P, but not all P is S. You remember the modus tollens and all that logical stuff. So while it's true that anything that's not a kli is by definition, an oel. We don't have to say that all oelim are mechubal karka. That an oel, which is subject to meleches binyan and stira, is by definition attached to the ground. No. As long as it's not a kli, then the fallback position is that it has the status of a binyan or an oel. And that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Therefore, in the case of a kli, which is not a kli, and the reason it's not a kli is because it's not movable, it's not metaltel. And a keli, by definition, is called metaltelin. It's so large in its volume that it's not a kli. Well, there's no middle ground. If it's not a kli, then by definition it falls back into the general category of an oel. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds the Eruv is invalid. Why is the Eruv invalid? Again, here's our premise. An Eruv can only be valid if you can have access to the Eruv. Our second premise. If the Eruv is in a very large closet, which is immovable, then in order to get access to the Eruv, you'd have to break down this closet, break through it, break into it, right? You'd do a break-in. And that's impossible, according to Halacha, because you'd be violating Melechus Soser. What do you mean, violating Melechus Soser? Ein binyan u'stir v'kelim. The answer is, it's not a kli, because of its large size. And now what the Gemara is going to try to tell us is that although the Tanakhama of Rabbi Eliezer validates this Eruv, and he holds that as long as it's not attached to the ground, this closet, then it still has the status of a kli, and if it has the status of a kli, it's Yotza Mitoras Meleches Soser, and therefore you can get access to this Eruv, and the Eruv is valid, Ubepluta Dahani Tanoi. And this Machlokes Shina Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer is a familiar Machlokes. It's not here in Masechta Eruvin that it appears for the first time, but rather it appears for the first time in a Mishnah in Masechta Zavin. Now, what we have to know about a Zav in terms of his unique status in the constellation of Tumah V'Tara is that a Zav is metame a kli even without maga. Meaning, every ava tuma, any source of tuma, in order to transmit tuma to some kli, there has to be a contact between the tuma and the kli. So let's say, for example, if we take the case of a mess. Well, again, mess is a little complicated because it has what's called ohel. But let's take the case of a sheretz. If a sheretz falls on top of a kli, and there's contact between the sheretz and the kli contracts tuma. What's unique about a zav is that he has another category of tuma, which is called tumas heset. He, yud, samach, Tess. And Tess, Hesed, means to cause something to move, even without contact. So, for example, if the Zav would push a Kli, even though he's wearing gloves or some sort of a Hefsek between his hands and the Kli, so there's no direct Maga, no contact with the Kli, the kli nevertheless will contract tuma, and that's called heset. Now, we have something called re'ada, resh ayin dalet hey, which means a tremor. Sometimes the zav could cause a tremor in the kli, even though the kli has not moved from its spot. And that's the subject of this Mishnah in Masechta Zavin. Hikish al gabi shida teva umigdal. We're talking about three types of closets. What's common to all three of them in our Mishnah in Zavin is they all can maintain a content of 40 saw, very large kelim. And hikish hazav be'egrafo. The zav, with his fist, bangs on the door of this closet, any one of these three closets. Again, if you want, we can talk about the difference between each one of the three, but that's less important for us. And here the Mishnah records a machlokas between the Tanakhama on the one side of the equation and Rab Nechemi, Rab Shimon on the other. Whereas the Tanakhama says that these kelim now contract tuma, and the tuma that we're talking about is tumas heset. Why? Because we're assuming now, according to Tanakhama, that the ra'ada, you know, it's when you bang on this gigantic closet, the closet's not going to move from its spot, but it does create a tremor And that qualifies as Hesed. Rabbi Nechemiah of Rabbi Shiva Mitarim, they say that the closet remains tar. And at this point, the Gemara thinks that everybody agrees that if you create a tremor through this hikish, that itself is a tumas hesed. So what is the subject of the machlokes? And why would Rabbi Nechemiah Rabbi Shimon insist that the closet remains tar? The Gemara suggests, my lab b'hapa mifigli, mar sovar klihu, umar sovar oelhu. The Tanakama, who says that the Migdal is Tomei, he holds Kliu, and Zav is Metamei Kalim, Bitumas Heset, even without Maga. As we said, a utensil will only contract Tuma through Maga, with the exception of Tumas Heset of a Zav. Now, if we have a Kli, and since we're assuming that this Ra'ada, that, you know, it's like a shutter through the spinal of the Kli, it's a kind of a, almost like an electrical tremor in the Kli, that's enough to constitute Hesed, but only in the condition that's a Kli. And the Tanakhama holds that despite the large volume of the Kli, nevertheless it still retains its status as a Kli. Umar Sabar Rav Nechemiah Rav Shimon hold that if this Kli has enough of a capacity to hold a volume of 40 saw, then it's not a Kli. It's an oil. And an oil is karka. And karka is not makabel tumah. So therefore, if we accept Rab of Rav Yosef, that there was a machlokes in our mission in Erevin between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, that revolves around the status of a migdal that is so large that it contains 40 saw. Is it a kli or is it not? And then Afkamina is going to be, if it's a kli, then we have a principle to activate, which is called Ein Stira Bekelim, and therefore he can have access to the key to open up the closet. Or do we say no? That according to Rabbi Eliezer, once this kli is so large, it's Yotza Mitoras Kli, it has the status of an Oel, and then there is a violation of Stira. That machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim is really in truth an ancient machlokas between the Tanakhama on the one hand and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Nechemiah on the other hand, regarding Hikish in the case of a very large Kli called the Teva Shido Migdal, when the Zav bangs on this utensil that's so large, if the utensil retains its status as a Kli, and that would reflect also the Tanakhama of our mission according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, then the Kli still retains its status, and therefore it will be Makabel Tuma of a Zav, Tumas Hesed, and at the same time you will be able to be Mekil and allow for the Eruv to be a valid Eruv because you can break down this Kli. Whereas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Nechemiah hold that the large Kli that contains 40 saw has forfeited its status as a Kli, and therefore it is Tahar from Tumas Hesed of Azav, and as far as Shabbos is concerned, you will not be able to have access by breaking this migdal because it no longer has the status of a kli, it's so large, and therefore the Eruv is going to be invalid. So I both say, when we compare these two machlokasin, which both revolve around the issue of a very large kli, that is Mechil 40 saw, does it still retain its status as a kli or not? In essence, what we're dealing with is a chumra and a kula. That's the paradox here. On the one hand, you're being mekil, if you call it a kli, as far as the Erev is concerned. You're going to validate the Erev. On the other hand, you're going to be machmir as far as tumas hesed of azav, because azav is metami a kli, but tumas hesed. If, on the other hand, you maintain that because of the large size of the kli, it forfeits its status as a kli, that's a kula and a chumra. It's a kula as far as tumas hesed of a zav is concerned, and that's why Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Shimon Metarim. On the other hand, it's going to be a chumra as far as the Erev is concerned, because then we're going to activate the principle of Yesh Binyan Ustira B-O-L. And as we said before, anything that's not a Kli is ipso facto an Ohel. Now comes Abaye. Oh, our good old friend Abaye. Abaye is going to reject this understanding of the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Nechemia and Rav Shimon. Omar Abaye V'Tisbara. V'Tisbara is always a way of saying, is it really logical to assume that this is the explanation of the Machlokes? Is Shida, Tevo, Migdal called a Kli, or is it not called a Kli? V'Asan, you have a Braisa that says, Oel V'Nisat. Okay, now what's Oel V'Nisat? This case of an Oel is an Oel that is not tied down, fastened, attached to the karka in a complete and powerful way. It's still a little bit loose, like my tooth this morning before I went to the dentist. So it's that's called vindisait. And now the zav starts banging on this oil. And as you could imagine, since he's banging on the oil, that's called hesed. As we discussed earlier, there's going to be a certain kind of movement of one sort of another of this oel as a result of the hikish of the zav, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. No, I'm sorry. The oel is makabel tumah, and we're going to see why in just a minute. But kli, if you take a utensil, even if it's very heavy, and you sort of semi-attach it to the ground, eino nisat, because it's such a large, heavy kli, it's not going to be moved, even though the zav bangs on the kli remains unmoved, tar. We see something very, very interesting here. And that's what Abaye wants to quote. This braisa of Abaye is a major departure from everything we said until now. We've assumed that if you define an oel, then it's not makabel tumas hesed. Here we have a case where, despite the fact that it's an oel, it's nisat and it's tomei. Even though an oel is normally not makabel tumah, but here it is makabel tumah. In other words, this braisa, according to Abaye, is telling us that the whole distinction between a kli and an oel is totally inapplicable when it comes to hesed of a zav. And therefore, even when I've defined this oel as an oel, it's tame, because again, when the zav leans on it, bangs on it, he moves it, because as we said before, it's not tightly fastened to the ground, and therefore it's makabel tumah. How then can you, Abaye, Rabbi Rav Yosef, how can you assume that whether or not the zav is metame b'ol, in the case of a teva, migdal, or shido, which are very large, it depends upon whether we classify them as a kli or an oel. I'll grant you that it's an oel. It's going to be tame anyway. Therefore, you have to come up with another justification for the ruling of Rav Nechemia Rav Shimon that it's tar. And Abaye gives a little bit more of a push. I mean, we want to get to El Amar Abaye. That's the main breakthrough here, but just a little bit more of a push to again prove, or shall we say disprove, the explanation of the Machlok Shin, the Tanakhama, Rav Nechemiah, Rav Shimon, based on Rav and Rav Yosef, that the issue is whether or not we classify this large closet as a kli or not. K'toni Sefer, in the next part of this Brisa, which we quoted, it says, after Hikish al Gabishid, it says, Im hayu nisotim tmeim. If these Shida Tevo Migdal would move from their place through the, or as a result of the Hekesh of the Hikish of the Zav, then even Rav Nechemiah and Rav Shimon are Moda that it's the Tmeim. Zachlal Nisait Machmas Kocho Tomei Machmas Ra'adotar. Now we have the distinction between Kocho and Ra'ada. And what we're saying is that in the case of a Zav who bangs with his hands or his feet on Karka, as a result of banging on the Karka, he creates a kind of a tremor that electrifies, so to speak, moves the, or shudders the Migdal from its place, then the Migdal is Tahar. And why is that? Because it's Machmas Ra'ada. If it's Machmas Kocho, that's one thing. Then it's Tomei. And it matters not whether it's a Kli or it's an Oil. Because if it moves, that's called Tumas Hesed. But if Machmas Ra'ada, if the Zav makes a bang, and as a result of the bang, it creates a tremor, and that shoots out and moves the Migdal Tor, that's not considered Kocho. Hesed has to be Mikocho. And this is not called Kocho, this is what we call Kar Kocho. So you may remember, in Masechta Makis, we have a case where somebody throws something up at a tree, something gets dislodged from the tree, falls down onto the head of somebody, and kills him. That's not called Ritzicha. That's Koach Kocho. He has one Koach hitting up to the top of the tree, knocking off some of the dates, a cluster of dates. Then there's a second Koach that comes down in the opposite direction, gravity, that pulls those dates down and kills somebody. That's Koach Kocho. Here also, we have a case of Koach Kocho. What happens is, it's not that the Zav, as a result of his direct impact on the victim moves, but rather Zav has an impact on X, we'll call it Karka. The Karka has an impact on the victim, so to speak, and causes the victim to move. And in this case of Shida Tevu Migdal, in a case of Nises Machmas Ra'ada, which is considered Koach Kocho, then it's Tar. So again, it's not that Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Shimon would mitire the Tevu Migdal because it's not considered a Kli, because it holds 40 Saw. It's irrelevant whether it's a Kli or not. Even if it's an Oel, it's Mekabel Tumas Hesed. But the issue is this called Tumas Hesed? And the answer is, this is Koach Kocho. It's not Kocho, and therefore it's not Tumas Hesed. Again, all this, argument A, argument B, is coming to disprove the position of Rabba and Rav Yosef. According to their position, the machlokas here between Tanakam Rabbi Eliezer, and for that matter, the machlokas between the Tanakama on the one hand, Rav Shimon, and Rav Nechemiah on the other hand, revolves around the issue of the status of a very large Shida Tevo Migdal, which holds 40 Sof. No. We've disproven that in two ways. There's no issue here, and it's not relevant at all whether or not the Teva Shedo Migdal has the status of an Oel or of a Kli. Even if I grant you its status is that of an Oel, the Tumah of Hesed Hazav is active, is valid. The question only is a different question, and that is, are we dealing here with kocho or kar kocho? And if it's kar kocho, it's called re'ada, then that's not called hesed, and that's the reason why Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Nechemiah insist that the Shida Tevu Migdal remains tar. El Amar Abayi Dekuli Alma Hesed Machmas Kocho Tome. Machmas Ra'ada Tar V'Hachabar Ra'ada Machmas Kocho Askinan. So we have two polar extremes, two categories, one Latara and one Latome, and there's no debate about those two. We're going to have a middle case which sort of overlaps the two, and that's going to be the controversy. So let's go through the two polar extremes. If the Zav moves the Keli directly, or for that matter moves the oil directly, that's called Kocho. Everybody, even Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Nechemi, agree that in such a case the Shida Tevu Migdal would become Tomei. That's called Tumas Hesed, which applies even to an oil. And that's called Machmas Kocho. Then on the other polar extreme, we have Machmas Re'oda, that the Zav bangs on, let's say, the karka, or with his foot, with his hand, whatever he bangs on, and then he sends a tremor which moves the Kli or the Oel from its place. Tar. Everybody agrees that that's Tar. Because that's Ka'a Kocho. But now we have a middle case. What's the middle case? Ra'ada Machmas Kocho. In other words, the Zav was makish. It wasn't that he banged down on the floor, on the ground. He knocked on the Kli, or the Oel. But it didn't move. What happened? It was only a Ra'ada. It was only a tremor. But that tremor was Machmas Kocho. Right, because it wasn't that, it was indirect, and first he hit the floor, and then the floor created a tremor that moved the Kli or the oil. No. This is Machmas Kocho. He took his hand, his fist, or his foot, and he banged, and he created a tremor. That's where all the Machmas Kocho. Mar Sover, according to Tanakama, Havi Hesed. This also is considered hesed. It's no different than if he bangs directly on the Kli and the Kli immediately moves, or he bangs on the Kli is too heavy to move, but it creates a tremor, and that's called a Ra'ada. I don't know what number on the Richter scale it would be, but it's a kind of an earthquake, a mini earthquake on this Kli. That's called Ra'ada Machmas Kocho. The Tanakhama says that's called Hesed. Hesed means that the Zav leaned on the object and the object moved. And that's exactly what happened here, according to Tanakhama. He bangs on the object and the object moves. Norvas. Marasavar Rabbi Nechemi Rabbi Shimon hold Lo Avi Hesed. That's not called Hesed. Hesed means that the Zav moves the object. He didn't move the object. The object is still unmoved. You have some sort of invisible tremor, which, as we said before, you know, will rate number 5 on the Richter scale. Okay, fine, but that's not Hesed. So the Machlokas now says Abaye is about the Kishkas of Hesed. Is Hesed any, does it include any time the Zav moves an object? Or no, it's got to be a direct moving of the object, not through a tremor. Tremor is not called moving the object. So next time, Yirtzeh Hashem, we learn Masechet Zavin, we'll keep in mind this sugya, and what the Machlokas Shin, the Tanakam, and the other Tanoim is all about. However, says Abaye, it has no bearing on our issue about a lost key and an Erev that's inside of Migdal, and whether the Erev is valid or not. Does he have access to the Kli? So the Gemara says, Masnisin b'mayk mokminin la. Now that we know that the Machlokes about Zav, Shehikish al-Gabi Migdal, is not about the status of a Migdal, whether it's a Kli or an oil. So then, how do we understand the Machlokes Tanoim in our Mishnah? Very good to destroy, but we have to build it up. We have to understand. If the Migdal is so large that it can retain 40 saw of liquids, then it should be an oil. You're not allowed to take it apart on Shabbos. So why does the Tanakhama hold that the Erev is valid? Before we had Rabbi and Rav Yosef the Amrit Shavayu, now we have Abaye and Rav the Amrit Shavayu. And Mishnah is talking about a Migdal, which is very large, and it has the capacity to hold 40 saw. And for sure, you would not allow to be taken, you would certainly be enjoined if you wanted to take it apart on Shabbos. That's an Issur Stira. And again, as we said before, stira is the flip side of binyan. And if you were to build a closet of this size that can be mechil 40 saw, you'd certainly be chayv for binyan. Therefore, if you take it apart and you disassemble it, then you're chayv mishum stira. Oh, so what's going on? Ubimanul uktir bimisna askinan. We're talking about a closet that is locked, but the locking, the lock itself, is tied to a rope. Now, why should that make any difference? Uktir means it's tied, b'misna, to a rope. Okay, now, if he wants to take apart this Migdal, and he has no key to open it up, then he can open up the Migdal by cutting the Hevel, by cutting this rope, because the rope, again, is holding on to the Minal. Uboy Sakino Lemifsike. But by hand, he's not capable of ripping apart this rope. He must be equipped with a knife in order to cut it. It's just too thick. Here's where we have a machlokas between Tanakhama and the other Tanoim. Tanakhama, who says that the Erev is valid, Savalak Reb Yossi, the Amar Kol HaKelim, Nitolim B'Shabes, Chutz Mimeser HaGadol, V'Yesei Yosei Chel Machareisha. If you recall, the Tanakhama holds, like Rabbi Yossi, that all kalim, by definition, with the exception of two special utensils, are not mukt on itolim b'shabbos. Which are the two that are the exception to the rule? That's called neser hagadol, which is a gigantic saw, or yasei chamachresha, which, in this case, it is a very large plow, and it has knives, so to speak. You know what I mean by knives? It has teeth. Then maybe that'd be a better word. And those teeth are made of iron, and they plow the land. Now, what's unique about these two kalim? There, Rabbi Yossi says that you're not allowed to move these kalim on Shabbos. That's called migu machmas chisaron kis. You know, we're talking about something that's very expensive, very sensitive, and he locks it up. He doesn't want anyone to use it. And that's called muksa machmas chisaron kis. Like, for example, today, I keep getting back to my dentist. He had some very expensive utensils. That's chisaron kis. And that's also the tilta. Our Mishnah, a migdal, is talking about a migdal that is tied up with a rope. And the Tanakhama says that you can take a knife and cut the rope and open up the migdal, if that's what's keeping it locked. And therefore you can have access to the Erev. The Erev is therefore valid. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Kirabi Nechemya, Diyama Afilu Talis Afilu Tarvareni Tolil and Sof Tashmish. Okay, so now we get into the famous Shita of Rabbi Nechemya as far as Mukts is concerned. Rabbi Nechemya holds that it's not true that anything that has a shame Kli is not Mukts. So you can have a Kli and yet it's Mukts. What determines whether it's Mukts or not is whether it's li shimusho hamiyuchad lo. Every single kli has a designated use, and you're only allowed to move the kli for that specific use. You want to use it for something else, that's called misusing it. And Rav Nechemya says that it's also a tilta. Okay. So therefore, afilu talis, afilu tarvon, I mean, these are real classic kalim, which we call kli shemalachta leheter, but you're only allowed to use it for its purpose. And if that be the case, the knife that you want to use is designated to cut food. It's a kitchen knife. Now you want to use it to cut rope. And why? Because you want to take your eruv out of this migdal, and the migdal is locked, so you want to cut it with a knife, cut the rope with a knife. It's muktzah. Meaning, if you were to take a knife, which is normally used to cut food, and use it to cut this rope, you would be violating the Isur muktzah according to Rabbi Nechemya. And Rabbi Eliezer should be identified now with Rabbi Nechemya, and that would invalidate the Eruv, because there's no way he can get access to the Eruv. And the reason for that is because the Erev is locked up to a Shida, Tevo, Migdal with a rope, and the only knife he has to cut the rope is a kitchen knife, and we're going to go like Rabbi Nechemya. But that's only according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Chachamim, no problem. He has access to his Erev. He could take any knife on the face of the earth and use it, Litzor Gufo, in order to cut this rope, and therefore free the closet with the Erev inside. So that's the Maskonas Agumah. Rabosai, this brings us to the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. So let's add a few points before we end the shiur. According to Rashi here, we have Machlokas Tanoim in the case of a very large kli, as to whether or not it has the status of a kli. That's all before Abaye. And the Tanakhama holds that a migdal still is a kli, and it's mekabel tumah. However, many Rishonim seem to disagree with Rashi. They hold that there was never a machlokas linyan tumah. Everybody agrees that a migdal is not mekabel tumah, because the din of tumah is derived from the poskim vayikra yud aleph kol asher yipol alav mehem b'mosam yitmami kol kli eitz o beged o aro sak. And we have here an analogy between all wooden kalim and sak. Sak is something that can be moved, whether it's full or empty. It's a smaller kind of utensil. So to a kli eitz, if it has 40 saw, then it's not metaltel when it's full, and therefore it's not included in the parasha of Tumah. And therefore everybody would agree that a migdal is not mekabel Tumah. The machlokas rather is only linyan Shabbos, and Rabbi Eliezer holds yotza mitoras kli, vareu nechshav oel umechubel akarkav lachen osur lesosro b'shabbos. Chachom hold, even though as far as Tumah is concerned it doesn't have a din of a kli, nevertheless, as far as Stira on Shabbos is concerned, it still has the Torah's Kli, because it can be moved, and it's not called an oil. Therefore, you're allowed to take it apart, and there's no Melech HaSoser. You can have access to your Erev, and
therefore the Erev is valid.